Good morning to each one. Greetings in Jesus' precious name. It's good to be here and worship again this morning. I've been blessed with thoughts in the Sunday school, in the Sunday school devotion, the thought of our banner. What is our banner say? What do people see? Appreciate that. This morning, for a title, I'd like to think about considering. And I gave it a title, Considering J-O-Y. Considering J-O-Y. The word consider is a definition to think carefully. Think carefully about some idea, some project. Especially with regard to taking some action. Consider. There's a lot of aspects to the word consider. And some of the meanings we use are just have a little bit different slant. So when I think of this message, I started thinking about it. I was thinking about considering ourselves. Galatians 6, verse 1 has that phrase in. Consider yourself. And as I thought about that, I began to think about Jesus, considering Jesus. And then the song J-O-Y came to my mind, Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. So that's how I like to think about it this morning, considering J-O-Y. I like to consider Jesus and then others and then yourself, myself. When you think about consider Jesus, consider Christ Jesus. I especially think of the aspect of the meaning of the word consider, which is to gaze on steadily or reflectively. And you think about the story in the Old Testament when the Israelites traveling in the wilderness and they complained about the way, how it was difficult, and God, they were murmuring. And God sent fiery serpents among them to bite them, and many of them died. But in this, they realized they had sinned. And God told Moses, "You make a brass serpent, put it on a pole, and then you tell the people that anyone who looks at the serpent, well, if they've been bitten by the fiery serpents, if they look at the brass serpent, they will live." And Jesus, when he came, he told the people, and he actually told Nicodemus, it was in his conversation in John 3, he said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And as we think about those people that were bitten by the serpents, the fiery serpents, and how they must have gazed on that brass serpent, gazed on it steadily. It wasn't just a glance. It was when they beheld it, when they looked at it and reflected about how they had sinned and how this was God's way of providing them healing, providing them life. They were going to die if they did not take this. So let's think about gazing on Jesus, considering Christ Jesus. And the first thing I would like to think about that is that though he was rich, he became poor. And he made himself of no reputation. You can turn with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, we'll read a few verses here. Consider this. Philippians 2, verse 5, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." We can't comprehend the majesty, the glory that Jesus had with his Father. Pre-incarnate Christ. He was equal with God. It says here, he thought it not robbery, but equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He was born to a poor family in Israel, in the land of Israel. And one indication of that we know they were poor, and that is that when, according to the law, his parents took him to the temple and offered a sacrifice, they offered the sacrifice of poor people. It was two turtle doves in Luke 2:24. On top of that, he lived in obscurity. He was a common laborer for many years before he began his ministry. He was the carpenter from Nazareth. And we get a real insight to the reputation that Nazareth had in John 1, where Philip, having been called by Jesus to be his disciples, tells his friend Nathanael that we have found the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" It was Jesus' town where he grew up. Consider this. Consider what Jesus did. He had no prestigious education. According to Jewish custom, Jesus would have been educated as a boy. He would have gone to the schools and been taught by the rabbis, possibly, but not like Apostle Paul had been, where he sat at the feet of the famous teacher Gamaliel. Jesus did not, and it was so much that when Jesus taught in the temple in Jerusalem in John 7:15, they said, "How does this man know? How does he know how to talk? How does he know how to read?" The words they said is, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus did not have some university that he went to. He didn't have a PhD at the end of his name. Consider this, how he was rich and he became poor. He had no place to lay his head. He told the disciples, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." No place that he called his own. It seems as if he lived with his friends. We know of some of Jesus' close friends, his disciples, his friendship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus had no money for taxes. He had to ask Peter to go fishing and catch a fish to pay taxes for Jesus and Peter. He had no place of his own for the Last Supper. It was someone that was willing to share with him. He even borrowed his own tomb, or his friends borrowed it for him. It was the tomb of a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. It was not Jesus' own tomb. He had no place of his own to be buried. There was one thing that we'll see in a little bit that he did have. Now, turn to Hebrews 12:3. And you may know this by memory. Hebrews 12:3. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Consider Jesus Christ. The contradiction of sinners. Isaiah 53 says that he is despised and rejected of men. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Verse 4 in Isaiah 53, we esteemed him not. Consider the contradiction of sinners. Not only do we esteem him not, but we rather thought that he is being stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's also verse 4 in Isaiah 53. Turn to 1 Peter 2. For another scripture that shows us what he endured and how he endured these contradictions of sinners against himself. And consider this. Consider him. 1 Peter 2:23. Who, talking about Jesus, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Consider Jesus Christ. Consider also that he was faithful. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. I know that's not the right. Yes, it's verse 2. Hebrews 3, 2 says, "Who was faithful to him that appointed him?" That's talking about Jesus Christ. In verse 1, I was going to read a little bit later. But it says that, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him." Consider Jesus Christ. Back in 1 Peter 2:22, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Jesus was faithful to his Father, who had appointed him for this purpose, to come, live a sinless life, and God said it's recorded in Matthew 3:17, Matthew 17:15, Mark 1:11, Luke 3:22, and Peter references it in 2 Peter 1:17. Jesus, or God said about his Son that, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It was an audible voice from heaven. People heard it. Some people thought it thundered. Other people heard the words. God was pleased that Jesus was faithful. And in Matthew 12:15-21, let's turn to that. And this is a beautiful passage when you think about prophecies in the Old Testament and how Jesus, as the Savior, it was prophesied that he would come like this, that he would please his Father. Matthew 12, verse 18. I want to start at verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant." And this is in Isaiah 42, verse 1. You can read. But I'll keep reading here in verse 18 of Matthew 12. "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Consider Jesus. He humbled himself, always pleased his Father, and he went to the cross. In Philippians 2, we already looked at that. Philippians 2, verse 8 says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in that death, Jesus gave up the only thing that was his own, his life. Gave his life. John 10:17. Turn with me to that. Let's look at that. John 10:17. Considering how Jesus was faithful to him that appointed him. John 10:17 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Jesus came to lay down his life for us. It was the will of his Father. But he always kept before him that what was on the other side. He was going to take his life again. And in Hebrews 12, which we looked at a little bit ago, but verse 2, I didn't read. It says in verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus," think about considering, "the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." So consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now let's think about considering one another. We're considering J-O-Y, Jesus. Now we'll think of others. Let's think, we're going to consider one another. And considering, we'll take the part of the definition of consider, which means to regard or treat in an attentive or kindly way. When we think about consider one another. Regard or treat in an attentive or kindly way. There's a interesting verse in 2 Timothy 2:17. And I mean 2:7, Paul is writing and he says to Timothy, "Consider what I say." You consider it. Treat it with attention. Regard it. And Hebrews 2:1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." So as we have fellowship with each other, let's consider that. Let's give earnest heed, and certainly as we share with each other from God's word, let's consider it. Because Hebrews 12:15 says, "Lest any man fail of the grace of God, and any root of bitterness springing up trouble you." And we're not talking about you here. We're not talking about yourself here. We're talking about others, right? Well, the next phrase says, "And thereby many be defiled." So let's consider, let's beware, let's take heed. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And Ephesians 4:32, let's say that together. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Consider one another. Philippians 2, let's turn back to Philippians 2. We looked at this when we were thinking about considering Jesus, but the beginning of the chapter has some admonition for considering others. Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's how we're to consider one another. Consider them better than ourselves. And verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So as we consider others, we're concerned about their things. We're concerned about their life, their problems, their struggles, their convictions. Consider. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to read a number of verses here. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 7. Thinking about looking on the things of others. Especially verse 7 has a thought on that. 2 Corinthians 10, 7 says, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. So as we consider others and we look on the things of others in the body of Christ, let's remember that we are all Christ's. I'm going to keep reading here. We'll read to the end of the chapter. Verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Some more admonition for considering one another. Not to compare ourselves among ourselves, but we'll see what we are to compare to. Verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So our standard of what we compare ourselves with, or what we compare when we look at others, we don't compare ourselves among ourselves, we compare ourselves with the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I said I was going to read to the end of the chapter. That verse 18 I want to save. I didn't want to read that yet. I'd like to think about Romans 15, 1 and 2. Romans 15, 1 and 2. This verse, I was put it down in my notes because of what's up here on the whiteboard. Thank you, whoever put that up there this morning. One of the trustees probably, but God bless you for that. But Romans 15, verse 1 and 2 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." And then verse 3, "For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." So as we consider one another, we please our neighbor. Now, it's qualified how we do that. It's for his good to edification. That's how we please our neighbor. And this thing of pleasing our neighbor, Jesus taught when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, it's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. You can read that. And so, considering one another, Hebrews 10, 24 says, I need to turn to it, Hebrews 10, 24. I'm sorry, that's Romans 10, Romans 10, 24. It's not right. I did have it right, Hebrews 10, 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Let's think about considering thyself or considering myself. Galatians 6:1 is the scripture that where we find that phrase. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." In the Old Testament, the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 2, verse 15, God told the Israelites, "Consider your ways." Consider your ways. Jesus said, Matthew 7, 3, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you need to consider the beam that's in your own eye before you think about the mote in our brother's eye. Joshua 23:11 says, "Take good heed to yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." We need to consider ourselves that we may be losing. We may have lost some of the love. Jesus told that to the church at Ephesus. He said, "You have lost your first love." But take good heed to ourselves. Consider ourselves. Consider myself. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is God's words to the children of Israel through Moses. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. It says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Consider ourselves, consider myself. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. First Corinthians 10, 12 says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And now, 2 Corinthians 10, the last verse. 2 Corinthians 10, 18. We just read 17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Verse 18 says, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Consider thyself. If you look in the, if you look Galatians 6:1 up in the Naves Topical Bible, you'll find it. It's under various topics, but I was impressed. It was under the topic of watchfulness. Page 1,362, Naves Topical Bible, and there's a lot of course, other verses that are that have to do with that topic of watchfulness. And so, this thing of considering ourselves, it's a watchfulness, being aware. We already talked about some of the verses that in the Old Testament especially, there were many verses. God told the Israelites, beware that you forget not the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:12 and Deuteronomy 8:11 have those verses. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, beware when all men speak well of you. Consider that. When all men speak well of you, be careful. On the other hand, in 1 Peter 2:22, let's go back to that chapter. 1 Peter 2:22. That's the verse before that, verse 20. It's not 22, it's verse 20. It says, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? That's for your faults. What glory is it if you take it patiently, if you deserve it? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So let's consider ourselves if we've done what is right, we've done well, and we're suffering. Let's take it patiently. This will be acceptable with God. And we know in Acts 5:29, The apostles told the Sanhedrin, you know, that the apostles were out. They were preaching in the temple, and they were preaching in the name of Jesus. And the leaders there said, you have to stop this. No more. And the apostles, among other things, they said, well, you decide. You have to decide in your own minds, but we ought to obey God rather than men. So if we suffer for doing well, for obeying God, let's take it patiently. And back in 1 Peter 2 again, verse 19, it says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. It's thankworthy. And so, as we consider ourselves, as I consider myself, this verse, two verses in Psalm 139 is my prayer. And I believe it should be the prayer of each of us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So considering J-O-Y, as you think about that, there is an aspect where we should consider ourselves, right? We should look and consider our own hearts first, especially before we consider others. But let's never forget in our considering that we always keep in focus and look to Jesus and consider him. God bless each one. Let's kneel for prayer.